making New Year's resolutions that will actually stick. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Bob Miller is my guest. Bob is a flight instructor and flight school operator based in the Buffalo, New York area, also the publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, and a professional cage rattler last few years. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, Paul, it's always a pleasure to be with you, and you always evoke the best from my thoughts on the subject of aviation and flight safety, so I enjoy talking with you.
All right, well, let's talk about something a little different and more general today, and that is New Year's resolutions. We all make them, well, I say most of us make them, or have at one point in our life. A lot of people say they don't make them anymore because they get discouraged because they never seem to keep them. The television commercials are filled with advertisements for gymnasiums and weight loss programs. Why don't we keep New Year's resolutions very well? And then let's apply that to aviation.
Well, I like a term that Dick Rutan used when he talked about accidents. He said there's no such thing as an aviation accident. It's only a consequence of doing something incorrectly or not properly. And I'd like to attach that same kind of description to New Year's resolutions and call them New Year's consequences. If we understood and fully appreciated the fact that if our resolutions do not come to pass, what consequences will result? So perhaps this is turning a positive into a negative. You know, we all would like to lose some weight. We'd like to all like to be a little bit more fit. But I think if we concentrate on the consequences of not achieving our resolutions, our attention to making them happen will be much more realistic. And that's something that I've tried to do in the coming year with a couple of New Year's resolutions or consequences that we might like to talk about.
Okay, let's talk about some personal ones first. I have made a New Year's resolution to do more flying in 2011 and to get an additional rating. And I know which one in particular I want to go for. I can think of some very definite steps I need to take. It's been said that the difference between a dream and a goal is a plan. So I guess what I hear you saying in a roundabout way is that we need to have some sort of plan in place to avoid these consequences.
Well, we definitely need a plan, but in your two resolutions are noteworthy, more flying and a new rating, you really need to ask yourself what are the consequences of not obtaining that new rating or not flying more. And once those consequences of not achieving those resolutions are in place, then the likelihood of pursuing them is going to be, as I said, much more successful. And yours is a little tough. You know, the consequences of not flying more, the consequences of not obtaining a new rating, you're going to be pretty much the same as you were this year and perhaps the year before. So what is driving you, Paul, towards the accomplishment of those resolutions? Let me ask you, what is compellingly motivating you to pursue that and achieve it?
Well, and I have to say that I agree that's a tough one. That's kind of one reason I brought it up. But for me, the reason I want to do those two things is A, I know I'm losing proficiency because I don't fly very much or haven't flown very much in the last couple of years since I moved here to Salt Lake. The other thing is that, I believe that in a lot of areas of life, you're either in an upward spiral or in a downward spiral. And I don't want to be vague about my own spiral. I want to make sure it keeps moving upward.
Well, yeah, and again, that's commendable, but I think that's the same weakness that most of us have in trying to accomplish our resolutions. I have two goals for 2011. One is to shed 30 pounds, and two, to become a more disciplined pilot. But I have two very compelling reasons for wanting to achieve those resolutions. 2010 was a very, very bad year for me personally, professionally as a pilot. And to be brutally frank, number one, I lost my medical in the summer of 2010. I'd had to go on some medication related to high sugar and high blood pressure. So unless I get the weight under control, I'm going to be facing a loss of my medical each month I continue to fly. Number two, and to be brutally honest, I was involved in an incident with a student that resulted in a collapsed gear when the student smacked the ground a little too hard. And the FAA exercised their rights and privileges under Section 709 of the regulations and opted to go with me on a proficiency check. And it was through that proficiency check that I discovered, and so did the FAA, that my attention to certain aspects of flying, certain details, certain preciseness, had grown a little loosey-goosey in the years since I had originally been trained. And as a result, I feared that lack of proficiency may be communicated to my students. So there again, if I do not do something about my flight proficiency and flying by the book, the likelihood of perhaps another 709 ride could come along. So you see, in my resolution, I see some very dire consequences for me not accomplishing them. In summary, if I don't get my weight under control, the loss of my medical is imminent. If I do not begin to fly more precisely, more attention to detail, number one, I'm passing those bad habits on to students, and number two, I'm on the radar scope. I'm on the radar scope of the FAA, and I know firsthand that they would like to have another shot at Bob Miller and take that as an opportunity to provide some humility, if you will, that may be necessary. So, as I said, in summary, a kind of a roundabout way, you know, if I'd say my goal for the new year is I'd like to take a vacation to Bimini, that would be great. I'd love to be able to set a goal to do that. But if I don't do that, there's no real consequence. So our resolutions need to be tied to consequences. That's why I chose to call them New Year's consequences. And then, Paul, the action plan that's necessary to make those happen is, as you pointed out, all too important.
All right. Well, when we come back from the break, let's talk about that plan, because obviously if you have dire consequences facing you and don't have a plan, now you're talking about a source of anxiety. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller. Now that we have New Year's resolutions based in an analysis of the consequences if we don't accomplish them, Bob, mine, obviously, I don't have any dire consequences if I don't accomplish mine. You do. So what is your action plan?
Well, in terms of losing 30 pounds, it's more than stepping on the scale each morning and kind of getting depressed over a weight gain or a failure to lose weight. There's two things that all of us know about losing weight. One, we have to eat more selectively. And number two, we have to exercise. And so I've done two things. What I eat, I write down. And with today's technology, it's very easy to do it with an iPad or an iPod or any kind of handheld device. There's an application that I have on both the iPad and the iPod called Lose It. And it's a free application, and it's a nifty little thing that you just simply record what you had for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that it will give you graphically in multicolors exactly what your caloric intake was for the day, what your total carbohydrates intake was for the day, and it will then track your results on a scale that will, a graph that will literally take you from your goal, from your present weight to your goal, and then you can easily print that out. So that's what I'm doing in terms of weight control, measuring what I'm eating calorically intake. We know it's calories in, calories out. And then number two, I'm engaged with a professional trainer 3 days a week. It's expensive, but so is my income in terms of what I would lose if I lost my medical. So I'm working with a personal trainer 3 days a week who's also helping me along in this regard. So two things, exercise and watching what I'm eating. That's part of my action plan for losing weight.
Okay, now how do you stay as precise in your proficiency in order to address the issues you found in the 709 ride?
Okay, because every time I go aloft, I have a phantom passenger standing right beside me. And that phantom passenger is an FAA operations inspector. And believe me, I took a flight yesterday. I took my wife down to Cleveland from Buffalo. The weather was IFR. We left in heavy snow. And prior to boarding my 210, I did a pre-flight like I was purchasing the aircraft for the first time. I walked around. I examined every nook and cranny of that aircraft as if an FAA operations inspector was standing by. Prior to leaving, I did a very, very thorough pre-flight weather briefing, so I knew exactly what to expect all the way up and down the line. And I did it as if I was sharing that information, again, not with a student, where, you know, I, in the instructional setting, I'm the authority. But when I'm standing next to an FAA operations inspector, that individual is the authority. So honestly, I just make this mental image that I have somebody riding along with me in authority who is an expert at what I do. It's a mental game, perhaps, but I'm finding that it's working. In this regard, the more we fly, you know, I've got better than 10,000 hours like a lot of our listeners out there, and I fly every day. We become complacent, and that's something that I just refuse to allow myself to do. The other part of that proficiency plan is to read the accident reports. Read why other individuals are making the same mistakes over and over and over again, mirroring, in some cases, our own patterns of behavior. So fly like there's an operations inspector sitting beside you, and fly as if you could be the subject of the next NTSB fatal accident report.
All right, Bob, good advice. Sounds to me easy enough to implement. Maybe our listeners will have some suggestions by email on specific things they've figured out that they can do to put together an action plan and actually envision the consequences of not achieving their New Year's resolutions. And if they do, send them along to Paul P., that's P-A-U-L-P, at aero-news.net. Bob, as always, thank you. We'll catch you again on Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
Find the latest edition of Bob's newsletter and a link to get an email notice every time a new free issue is released at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.